Well, this in no way means that, you know, we should not attempt to do anything to improve our life or our situation. We're to work throughout our life. Work is something we do. We're given 6 days to do that. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to work in those 6 days. Money and great wealth are not evil of and by themselves. There's nothing wrong with it of and by itself. Mankind was meant to work to support their family's needs. And those that have no family, of course, they need to have to take care of their needs. And there's nothing wrong with money if it doesn't possess your life, striving after mammon for the purpose to outdo the folks that live next door to you or down the way. And then there are those on the opposite side that don't want to work. They don't like to do any work at all. In other words, they're lazy. 2 Timothy 3:10 says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat." If anyone wants to work, don't let him eat. That's strange. That's not politically correct, is it? In this day and age. "For we hear of some who walk among you in rebellion, who do not work at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are that way, we command and exhort in the Master Yahshua Messiah that with quietness they work and eat their own bread," in other words, what they work for. "But you, brothers, do not be wearying in doing well." Philippians 4:10 says, "But I rejoice in Yahweh greatly, that now at length you have revived your thought for me, in which you did indeed take thought, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of lack, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be in, to be content in it." We need to be that way. "I know how to be humbled. I know how to abound in everything, in all things. I have learned to be learned the secret both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in need. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me." So at this point, what I'm really trying to say all along here is we need to learn to be content with our present situation for the time. Yahweh knows our needs, and if we pray for his help and do our part, you know, to change and live in peace, things will change. Time changes things, for that matter, all by itself. Yahweh answers our prayers in the order that he wishes. If we are truly Yahweh's children, we can expect to be tried and tested at times because of these gifts and rewards, you know, to come in the resurrection. We have our gifts and our rewards now, and we're looking forward to other gifts and rewards that we'll find as issued at the resurrection. And in this life also. Like I said, we need to do our part. You know, in business, I learned something, and that is no action, no results. If you don't try to accomplish something, you won't get any results. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. But you do that with wisdom. Knowledge is power, they say, but knowledge improperly applied in the long run will not produce profitable outcome. Yes. Okay. When our brothers and sisters are having a difficult time, we should pray for one another. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effectual prayer of a righteous one avails much." And not only just for healing, but for other situations in life, depending what, you know, what circumstance might be. We need to pray for each other if we know about it. course, the only way we know about it is if someone says something about it. If you don't say anything to anybody, nobody else will know. But whether it's, you know, being anointed for some problem, an ailment or something like that, or a problem that you're working with and so on, we need to, you know, just step out and say, look, this is, I'd like for you to pray about my situation. You never know what the result will be, but it will probably be a positive one, especially those that worship Yahweh. Let's see, Matthew 6:25, you can turn there if you want. I'm going to read a little bit. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious for your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor yet for your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And Yahweh, Yahshua says, see the birds of the sky, that they do not that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more value than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to the measure of his life? Your anxiety is not gonna stretch your life at all. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed like one of these. But if Yahweh so clothes the grass of the field, which today exists and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So there's that word. There's that word, faith. That's got to be one of the key words of salvation. That is the key word, in my opinion. Without faith, there's nothing. You're wasting your time. Continuing, it says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat? What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or with what will we be clothed? For the Gentiles seek after these things. For your heavenly Father knows what you need in all things. He even knows it before you say it. But seek first Yahweh's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow. Don't worry about September the 23rd, 2017, though the day is not quite over. Honest to goodness, I think it is getting dark out there. Maybe I'm wrong. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Each day's own evil is sufficient. I keep looking. The day's not over. Life is very uncertain, obviously. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Let's see. Yeah. Oh, that's September the 24th. It's 2017. Oh, we're alive and we live right now. 1 second ago has passed and gone forever. The future has not happened until we come to this, to the exact moment in time. One moment you're alive, and in one moment you could be dead. Today all is well, and tomorrow might be, you know, just a great big mess. And for many, today is all a mess, and tomorrow may be all well. Like it says, we have to learn to deal with today, and tomorrow will take care of itself. We need to consider and meditate on what blessings, you know, what the blessings we've been given in spite of our troubles. You can always count your blessings, no matter how bad it gets. I mean, you might be suffering, let's say, from a disease, but you can look back over your life all the way up until that very time that you've had blessings, 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 so many blessings. There's no way. Blessings are uncountable. That's my philosophy on it. It is, you can't count all your blessings. It says count your blessings one by one. No, there are so many blessings you can't count them. You got blessings you don't even know about. And one example of this is my own example, really, is the sudden death of my wife's cousin this past week, who our whole family loved. He was our my wife's cousin and a relative, a close one at that, but he was a dentist. He my mouth is full of his work, and he was in a car wreck a few days ago, and his brain bled, and he's at least my age. But anyway, and I don't know what the circumstances was or anything, but anyway, he died, and let's see, it's 3:30. The funeral is probably going on right now. My family all just went over there, and I was troubled by that a little bit, but I needed to be here, so I stayed here. Anyway, and we just have to deal with it. You know, that's all there is to it. Solomon was given a blessing that I think all of us can appreciate to gain some comfort, because this is what Yahweh said to Solomon. 1 Kings 3, verse 14, it says, "If you will walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David did, as he did walk, then I will lengthen your days." Have our days been lengthened because of our faith in Yahweh and Yahshua? I truly believe that the answer is yes, especially for some of us in this elderly category. I mean, 70. That's what you're promised. And that's not even a promise, but that's the average. And so, you know, I've exceeded that, and Dennis is on his way. We lost Larry Sandberg just right after that. So, but anyway, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live, and you and your seed, to love Yahweh, your mighty one, to obey his voice." Theme of the Bible, in my opinion, to obey his voice, to cleave to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you dwell in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. And of course, that blessing was passed on to Joseph's two sons, Jacob passed to Joseph's two sons. I think these two verses indicate there is indeed a difference between those that obey Yahweh and his voice and those that do not. It is entirely possible that some of us might be dead and asleep, you know, like under the grass right now, if it was not for this particular circumstance that we obey Yahweh and we trust him with all our heart and soul and mind.